Hi, I'm Michael Criswell with RelentlessHeart.com. The following recording is simply an excerpt from the series Trusting God in the Wilderness, which is available in its entirety at RelentlessHeart.com/series. This recording comes from episode number 135 and was recorded on January 15th, 2014. The reason I'm sharing this is because it has some really good insights and will help remind many of us of the amazing promises in God's Word to give each and every one of us who fear Him, love Him, and obey Him personal, real, meaningful guidance for our life. May God bless you as you listen. I can't think of very many things that God has told me without using His Word. He keeps pointing me back. Now, granted, He's using a very unorthodox way to do this. I don't know why God has chosen me to do this. I don't know if God's wanting to do something new. I don't know if God is wanting to validate me. I see this was a main reason for miracles throughout the Bible with Moses, Elijah, obviously Jesus, obviously Paul and the disciples. The main point of the miracles was to affirm and give credibility to the teachers and the workers. And so maybe God is doing that. I don't know. But could be He's just using me because I've made myself available to bring Himself glory. But I also have a tendency to believe that what is going on, I really believe that the main two reasons why this is happening is because I have humbled myself to the Lord and have basically said to Him, look, I cannot do any of this without you, God. I am completely helpless and I have completely humbled myself to the Lord. I have not chosen to be proud and say, I got this. You know, there's been moments of that, but the character, meaning the overall, my approach has been, God Almighty, help me. And I literally cried out to Him. Okay, so that's the first thing, is I believe I'm weaker than most people.
Michael commentary. Brothers and sisters, as I was listening to what I've been listening to, you hear these recordings of me wrestling and celebrating and trying to understand the guidance of God in my life. It brings me to a place of such gratitude where my heart just melts before the Lord. When I realize and when I go through the scripture verses that I'm about to share with you, I am gripped with the greatest reality I have in my life, which is a life led by the Spirit and Word of God. A book thousands of years old bears thousands of years witness to the reality that the experience I and many others are having is indeed the experience of walking with the living God through the living Spirit who wrote the living Word. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to get the speaking voice of God in your life, to humble yourself ever so humbly before God, to empty yourself, making straight paths for the Lord to travel. Rid yourselves of all desire to live your life for yourself and rid yourself of all of your choices of sins, bearing your soul, wiping the slate clean for the Lordship of Jesus Christ to have His way in your heart. And He will guide you. He will give you such living, sweet, personal guidance for your life. I am amazed, continually amazed, when I go back through these recordings and I reflect on what God's Word said will happen to those who humble themselves, will happen to those who fear Him, will happen to those who make straight paths for the Lord to travel, and will happen to those who obey His words and put into practice His teachings. Brothers and sisters, this is evidence of the living God. And it just amazes me because, see, my God is your God. My Father is your Father. And if you will do for Him as many thousands of others that have gone before Him have done for Him, He will do for you what He has done for many thousands of others that have gone before us. He's the living God, and the Word says that His ways are loving and faithful to all those who keep the commands of His covenant. I want to share with you with great joy what you're hearing in these recordings, which is founded and proven and given credibility to by the Word of God. I want you to hear what the Word of God says is supposed to be the experience of all who love Him with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. I want you to hear that what I'm experiencing comes right out of the living Word of God. That this is not me wrestling with delusions of my mind. This is not me wrestling with a religion. This is not me making some fairy in the sky, but that words written thousands of years ago are my actual everyday reality that you're hearing. That this is a man who's not known to anybody but just a handful of people through a tiny little website called relentlessheart.com. There is no grandiose YouTube ministry with tens of thousands of subscribers and millions of video views. He's just a man walking by himself with his God, with no flesh and blood around him to consult. And on the contrary, all the flesh and blood around him, even those who call themselves by the name of the one he is following hard after, call him a fool. And yet, my brothers and sisters, what you will hear in these words that I'm getting ready to share with you, which are not my words, they are the words of God, is the exact reality of my life, even up to this day. The most important thing I have ever had from my Father is His guidance. I have said, God, I will go and do and be and endure anything under heaven as long as you will give me guidance. But my Father, if you take away your speaking voice from me, I will surely die. Brothers and sisters, the greatest gift God has ever given me is His speaking voice. This unbelievable daily guidance that fits me for His purposes, that equips me to bring Him glory, that gives me the sense of His presence, that makes me feel of amongst the most beloved that have ever lived, that He cares for me, He guides me, and this is available for any and all. Long before the year of 1973, long before I was ever even thought of, these words were a living reality that were being proven in the lives of, some would say, 10,000 times 10,000 glorious saints, far better than Michael Criswell has ever been or ever will be. This has been their living experience with the living God. When we fail to lay hold of that experience that God has said belongs to us and is the inheritance of those who serve the Lord, the responsibility is on us, not on God. I want to share with you now some of these scriptures that promise that I've collected over the years, God's guidance. And I want you to be so joyous and praise the Lord God Almighty. Those of you who've been listening for hours and hours and hours and hours of trusting God in the wilderness, I want you to see that what Brother Michael is experiencing is simply the living God through the living Spirit who wrote the living Word. And that this is available to you. And if you're not yet experiencing Him like this, you need to continue to follow my example as I follow Christ. Every one of these words were written for you just as much as for me. The only reason my God in heaven is having me to share these examples and this story and this journey is so that others can walk on it and enjoy Him forever, glorify Him forever with me. Not so that I or anybody who's followed in my steps or any of the steps that I'm following in can simply be a showcase of how great and glorious are a few choice of His saints, but so that all who call upon the name of the Lord, all who are willing to make straight paths for the Lord to travel, all who will dare to surrender all to Him, all who will dare to love Him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, all who will obey Him, all who will fear Him, all who will love in holiness before Him, can have this glorious experience. Richest man I am that I know. Richest man I am that I know. And so it is for all of those who have this kind of guidance from God, no matter how unorthodox the method is, no matter how unbelievable it is to those around him and even to the carnal part of himself, this is evidence of the living God. Nehemiah 9:19, because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the desert. By day, the pillar of cloud did not cease to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. Nehemiah 9:20, you gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. Job 31:4. Does he not see my ways and count my every step? Job 33:14. For God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. Job 36:15. But those who suffer, he delivers in their suffering. He speaks to them in their affliction. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. Psalm 16:5. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Psalm 23:3. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 25:4-5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Psalm 25:9. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Psalm 25:12. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. Psalm 25:14. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. Psalm 32:8-10. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Psalm 48:14. For such is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us until death. Psalm 73:23-24. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me in to glory. Psalm 107:30. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Psalm 119:104. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Psalm 119:133. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Psalm 143:8-10. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. Proverbs 2:8. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Proverbs 11:5. The righteousness of the blameless makes a straight way for them, but the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Proverbs 20:24. A man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way? Brothers and sisters, I take a pause to help you see something I've mentioned many times. How then have I been able to understand my own way? God has directed me in so many ways, ways much higher than are the heavens above the earth, that I've never had the opportunity to trace them out until once I've been far enough behind them to be able to look back and with God's help by the Holy Spirit and His grace to then begin to see more and more of what God's wisdom was to guide me and direct me into the unknown, into things that didn't seem to make sense, or through perhaps months or even years of darkness, one step, one day, one week, one month at a time, holding my Father hand in hand, walking with His Word through prayer, daily depending upon Him and anchoring in His Word. How then could I understand my own way? I have never been able to understand my own way. I don't understand my own way now. I have no idea what tomorrow holds, but I know who's there tomorrow holding me. That is the Christian life of faith. Let's continue. Isaiah 26:7. The path of the righteous is level. O upright one, you make the way of the righteous smooth. Isaiah 31. Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin. Isaiah 30:21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Brothers and sisters, are you able to see throughout the entirety of trusting God in the wilderness that there is a voice that is constantly telling me which way to go? Can you see that when people elevate me and talk about my faith or my strength, can you see how I am nothing but a worm drying up on a sidewalk after a rainstorm when my God comes for reasons unknown to me and says, oh, little worm, I can do something with you if you'll humble yourself before me and acknowledge your worminess. I can be your guidance. I can be your light. I can be your salvation. I can be your deliverance. Do you see this? That God gives me this guidance and God gives me this direction and He's guiding me and giving me light and telling me this is the way, walk in it. Isaiah 58:11. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Brothers and sisters, how could you not listen to trusting God in the wilderness and say, my God in heaven, this is what I hear in trusting God in the wilderness. You, the living God, always guiding Michael, satisfying his needs in a sun-scorched land and strengthening his frame, making him like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters to this day have never failed. Brothers and sisters, this is beyond what I can put into words. This is you and I have the opportunity, while the rest of the world trusts in its own strength and trusts in its own godlessness and wickedness and cleverness and understanding, you and I have the opportunity to, by faith, walk with this invisible God and see these scriptures come to life. When I read the Bible, I am reading my life. That is what a true Christian does. A true believer in Christ can read the Word of God and see, if you were to be the one of my children who inherits my Bible, you will continually see written on page after page after page, my personal experiences, my name, my life is written into this living Word. I'm able to say over and over again, yes and amen, this is what my experience is. Yes and amen, this is what my God has done for me. Yes and amen, this is how God delivered me. Yes and amen, this is the promise God fulfilled for me. It is written all throughout my Bible that my life is lining up with the scriptures in spite of the fact that I have nothing in me apart from Him that is worthy of any of this. Jeremiah 10:23. I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. End of commentary. I really do believe that I went from being Mr. I got this to Mr. Oh my gosh, Lord, I can't do anything without you. So I became very weak, weaker than most, which is one reason why I may be having this kind of assistance. The Lord's grace is heavy upon me. Paul says the Lord's grace was heavy upon him in power.
I think that's one reason, is that because I'm weaker than most. The other reason is because I think I obey more. I'm not saying this in spiritual arrogance. Nobody should ever listen to this and think, wow, Mike thinks he's more obedient and da-da-da. No. It's not that I think I'm better. I'm better off. Again, it comes back to, I believe I'm better off. And yes, I do believe the testimony of the majority of people around me is that they don't see very many people obey God to the level that I am, that I have by God's grace. I started out with a desire to do so, and then he has repeatedly rewarded me for doing it. And I'm sure 5 years from now, I'll be obeying him even better and knowing how to than I am now. But as of right now, I see these two things. I see that I'm weaker than most, and I obey more than most. So is it any wonder why God may provide a greater level of grace that comes in the form of me getting clear direction from him? That is undoubtable. You cannot watch the story of the 666, the 555, and the 777s and come to any other conclusion other than God himself gave me this abundance of grace and directed my path in such a way that it made it almost impossible for me to lose sight of his path, and impossible for me to miss giving him all this glory that he's getting from this testimony. And so that's not anything I did. I'm not doing greater things than Jesus from the standpoint of I'm zapping people or it's coming from me. There is an element of that is maybe an aspect of something that's greater than the Lord, but it's simply come through prayer, my praying and depending upon him to do it. God has done this thing, not me. That's the first thing. All the great things I'm seeing, the getting a free car and God telling me in advance it was coming. And I didn't have to go to a man, to a conference, to a crusade, to a miracle event, to some place in a foreign city. I didn't have to go chase it. God has brought these words and these promises to me. This lines up exactly with what Charles Stanley believes, that if you will get the sin out of your life, that's another thing. If I may be so bold, how many people are as afraid of sinning as I am? Anybody that would want to compare my level of experience of hearing from the Lord and being my path directed and all this crazy cool stuff that God's doing should also compare, are they walking in the level of purity that I am? I mean, not in the level of perfection, meaning I stumbled with my ex-girlfriend Jill, and ended up having premarital sex. I knew I shouldn't, but there was nothing in the Spirit of Christ in me that allowed me to stay in that. It railed. It made me feel like I wanted to die. I couldn't keep doing that. So I repented. The Lord even guided me to that. So my inclination is to burn against sin in my life or in the lives of other people, to stay away from it. I don't want to feed my sin nature. How many people do this? God has given me the grace to do this. I look at these people in the charismatic movement that I've been hanging around with, and I'm sitting there watching them, and their eyes are up and down on women when they go by. And, you know, there's this woman who constantly wants to bring up her own sexual desires. And, you know, we're in a different age bracket, so it's not like it's something that it's inappropriate from, you know, she's coming on to me or anything, but she just lacks the discretion in the way she dresses and the way she talks and carries herself, and she spills out words, just, I feel like God just said, just casually throwing it out there. And I go, I'm afraid to act like you do. Why do I have this fear of the Lord and you don't? I love him dearly. I mean, I absolutely love him, and I don't walk around being afraid of him, but I'm afraid to dishonor him big time. And when I do dishonor him, I cry like a baby. I get on my face and just beg him to forgive me. Why would God not reward that kind of behavior? Why would God not reward that level of obedience? Is this me being arrogant? Is this me being spiritually prideful? No, everybody has the opportunity to obey God like this, but people don't. And if somebody talks about how, yeah, I'm really strong in obeying the Lord and trusting him and loving him, the first thought might be to somebody who's not living like, wow, this guy's arrogant. No, this guy loves the Lord. He's obeying what the Bible says. What does Paul say? Use me as your example. Imitate my way of living. Consider your leaders and the outcome of their way of life. That's saying compare yourself. Look at the example of other people who are living it out. Don't, oh, that person deserves it. No, I mean, As soon as I dare stand up against any kind of sin or suggest that another person is, you know, have you ever thought about what this person's doing or whatever, I'm immediately, oh, you're just so tolerant, so judgmental, black and white. There you are. You're in this one group and everybody else is in another group. Well, you know what? That's what Jesus said. Jesus said there's two groups of people. The narrow path people, the wide path people, the life people, the destruction people, the heaven people, the hell people, sons of light, sons of darkness, sons of God the Father, sons of God the devil here on earth. So it is black and white according to the scripture. I know a lot of people hate that idea, but I just don't see any way around it biblically. So I've said all of this as a way of getting all this stuff kind of out of my head. It helps me so much. I'm still feeling so lightheaded right now because I need to eat bad. But, you know, I'm just really looking forward to getting through this. I feel still, it's difficult to go through all this stuff. It's not fun to have to, you know, rethink. And it's very humbling to think that you have so, you know, quickly embraced ideas and people and teachings that just because they sounded good, I realize now what a slap in the face that is to the Lord. And it really breaks my heart to think that I have been given to, because of my enthusiasm and my passion, I've been given equally to mistruths, half-truths, or flat-out lies. And it's very frustrating and humiliating, disappointing. And at the same time, I am so glad that the Lord is opening my eyes to this and I don't have to continue to live like this. And I am very concerned about how hard it is to break away from incorrect teaching. How hard it is, how easy it is to be deceived. Even an intelligent person who loves God could be so easily deceived. I am so thankful that God is opening my eyes to these issues and helping me, but it has not been fun to be confused. And there are still things. I don't think I have obviously I don't even come close to having all the answers on this topic. And I'm sure there'll be things that maybe I'll never fully know. But what I have to do is I need to be okay with the experiences I've had so far that have come to me from the Lord that all stem from Scripture. If I was having all of these kind of esoteric experiences and mystical things happening to me with numbers, and yet they were not all founded on God's word, well, then I had better be in trouble. I'd better be checking myself from the neck up. But because, just like the psalmist says, guide me with your word. And he says, you know, your word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. That is happening for me literally. God literally is using his word. Not like, oh, it's just such a neat thing and it illuminates and gives you wisdom. Yeah, it does. But God's word is literally being a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. By him using these numbers that constantly point to scriptures that direct me. And I have just learned to trust so much in God's ability to direct me in this way. And as unnormal, unorthodox, unusual as it is what it is. And it's right in line with the fact that God speaks primarily through his word. It's no different than a person receiving a devotional that has a scripture inside of it that they've already seen two other times, and they feel an impression that, wow, maybe God's trying to tell me something. And there it is in their inbox by divine providence. That's God guiding that person with his word. It's just that with me, I guess because I signed up, maybe I'm getting a lot more of it than the average person is because of the fact that my situation is so weak and I have expressed just a desperate need for the Lord. And I am committed to obeying him at all costs to the best of my ability, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so it seems that I'm getting this measure of grace that is unnormal. But I'm not chasing experiences. This has got to be the most probably important point I'll make in this whole thing that lines up, that the Spirit testifies. I have peace in my heart when I say these words, that I'm not chasing the experiences of God. I did buy into this for a short period of time. I did see the power of what I saw on some of these videos, and there was a spirit of enticement and intoxication and you start to want to run to have this experience and to get that power and to get your life to work. I want comfort and power and strength and prosperity, and you want to run to those things. I did see that for a time. And then I began to go, wait a second, is this of God? Is this of God? The main thing that I was, the main point I was going to make is that I have not encountered any of the things I've encountered. I've not had any of the experiences that I've had because I've chased the experiences. I think that is so important of a point. I believe it lines up with all the stories in Scripture, and that is that people in the Bible do not chase experience. Most of the people in the Bible were minding their own business when all of a sudden God shows up and they have an encounter. They weren't chasing the encounter. Yes, we are to seek God. How do we do this? Through His Word, through prayer, through committing ourselves to holiness and purity. This is seeking God, not by seeking some mystical, energetic experience or you know, esoteric things going on outside of the Bible. Those things certainly may happen, but I believe they're only genuine if they come as a result of God either profoundly seeking you, and you're not a believer, such in the instance of Saul or Abraham. Neither one of them were believers in God, and God just shows up one day and has them have an encounter with Him. Almost all of the encounters I see in the Bible, a person was going about their business or obeying God and praying, and then they had an encounter. It wasn't that they were seeking the encounter, they were seeking God. Or in prayer, and God added experience and encounters and divine providence to their desire for Him, not the other way around. And it seems to me a lot of people are seeking the experience and the power and all the mysticism of it in hopes of finding more of God, but you find more of God this side of that stuff. It's putting Him first, not His stuff. And I think that by trying to seek the experience, I mean, if I were Satan, I would be all over that. I would be over there with my little magic pixie dust stirring up, just like this guy Sean Smith says, creating little power areas where people are gullible enough to go there. And then you got people like Bill Johnson, who has people that fly from all over the world. People are flying all over from all over the world to go to this guy's church to, quote, get a glimpse of what God's going on. In his own words, he says, pay whatever the cost to go where this is happening and be a part of it. This is what he says. As if somehow or another God is no longer omnipresent, that he only exists in power in these certain little quadrants. No, that sounds more like the devil to me. The devil is not omniscient. The devil has limited resources. God does not. God could be with a man in power sitting in a cave somewhere in the middle of the desert. He doesn't have to go to some geographical location. The Bible says that there was the presence of the Lord was available to do miracles. That's because Jesus was there. Now the presence of the Lord is anywhere a follower of Jesus Christ is. It makes it clear. John 7:17, John 14:21, and 14:23. These are three scriptures that have a basis for experiencing God, but they all have a prerequisite of obedience. John 7:17, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he had just said, my teaching is not my own, it comes from God. That means if you choose to put my teaching into practice, obeying my words, you'll find out whether or not my teaching comes from God or I speak on my own. How do you find out? Through experience. God's divine providence, answers to prayer, peace, joy, love, happiness, passion for God, a commitment to purity, provision, providence, all these things will begin to happen. Answers to prayer. These gives you evidence to your faith. John 14:21 and 14:23. If anyone loves me and keeps my commands, my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. If anyone keeps my commands, I will love him and I will show myself to him. These are experiential promises based upon the prerequisite of obedience. And most people don't seem to want to do the sacrifice, give up everything, obey God, you know, become a slave. Most people don't seem to want to go that route. They want to, no, I want the experience and the impact and the effect and the prize and the reward and the money without the work, without having to earn it, without having to do all that hard stuff. And so, man, I'm telling you, if I were Satan, I'd be all over that. Find some people that were willing and open to his power, that were deceived enough to embrace it, and then start doing signs and wonders and sprinkling people with gold dust and putting gold teeth in their mouth and dropping gems from the sky or whatever. That all sounds like the devil's hokey pokey to me. I mean, that really does. I love it when, I think it was John MacArthur said, if God were going to give you a tooth, he would not give you a gold tooth. God would give you a real tooth. He would not give you a gold tooth. Why would he do that? It's almost like God makes it such that the devil does have to counterfeit, that he can't duplicate exactly what God does. He's got to have some measure of a counterfeit so that he can say, do you really think I was the one that put a gold tooth in somebody's mouth one day and hold them accountable to believe in that kind of junk? Or do you really think that I would sprinkle a man while he's preaching with gold dust as my way of showing I was with him? Is there any biblical evidence of that being needed or required anywhere, even close to, especially in the New Testament? No. This is how you will know the truth from the false teachers. The true ones I will sprinkle with pixie dust. I mean, I could see, though, my first thoughts when I watched him, I was like, wow. My first instinctive thoughts before I checked my discernment meter, I just simply immediately say, how does this make me feel? What does it look like? Wow. You know, God's awesome. He can do anything. And I bypass the idea of discerning it. How wrong is that? How wrong is that? Scary how many people are being sucked into this kind of stuff.
I really know that my breakthrough is right around the corner. And this is just so fascinating to see how the Lord is strengthening me and how the devil is trying to destroy me and to beat me down. I just know that on the other side of this, I'm going to be able to just praise God Almighty for his amazing faithfulness and for all of the endurance and all of the waiting and all of the hard days. I mean, it has lasted so long. I never in a million years thought that I could go this long in these circumstances. And I just know that my daddy is going to show up and deliver me for his glory. He has graced me to be able to stand. He has graced me to not quit. He has prayed for me that even though Satan desires to sift me like wheat, that I will stand strong and strengthen the brothers, that I have turned back to him. And as a result, there will be many strengthened as a result of God's strength in me.
My name is Michael Criswell. Long before there was a ministry called RelentlessHeart.com or a discipleship workbook called the John 7:17 Challenge, and long before there was a YouTube channel with over 10 million video views, 90,000 subscribers, and thousands of testimonies from around the world of lives saved or transformed by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, there was me, walking all alone with no one but Jesus Christ and my voice recorder. I was learning how to trust God in the wilderness on my way to the promised land. I'm still just waiting and believing that God is going to come through for me and he's going to provide and that he's going to make all this good in the end. You know, and I've been willing to take the risk. And if I'm wrong, then I'm going to be wrong in a bad way, and it's going to be so ugly. But if I'm right, and I think I am, and I have heard God correct, this thing is going to be absolutely astonishing. This is going to be breathtaking.
During my almost 4-year journey through the wilderness in pursuit of fullness in Jesus Christ, I captured every significant detail of the amazing journey in over 2,000 digital voice recordings. I captured the nonstop persecutions, the crushing attacks of doubt, the fiery furnaces of suffering, the many schemes of Satan, the many ways God tested my faith, the incredible revelations he gave me in his word, his day-by-day guidance to me, my sin failures, my victories of faith, hundreds of answered prayers, and even some miracles. I captured it all in real time, including my worst moments.
Why does this have so much power over me, God? Why?
And my best moments.
It is incredible. And so here it is. God has given me this fullness of joy, filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy, Peter says. That's what it is. I can't even express it.
I believe this is an unprecedented behind-the-scenes opportunity to see what it really looks like to walk with Jesus Christ by faith and to be prepared for a ministry. I thank God for giving me the insight to capture it all for His glory and for giving me the command to share it all with you. The series Trusting God in the Wilderness is now available with over 100 hours of recordings already posted and ready to download or stream only at relentlessheart.com/series. May God bless you as you listen. And don't forget to head over to relentlessheart.com and subscribe to be notified when new episodes are available.